do Parshat Ki Tete. And we're going to start on the first section of Ki Tete, very beginning of it, which is something that seems to have nothing to do with the way we live our lives. But as we'll see, because we're in Elul, because we're gearing up for Rosh Hashanah, or not gearing up for Rosh Hashanah, as it were, we'll see that the seemingly obscure message, obscure lesson, that apparently has nothing to do with us and is actually not relevant at all, is incredibly relevant and incredibly powerful when you look just a little deeper. With the beginning of Ki Tetzei, which is Perek Kaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud, Lav Yud. We'll start from the beginning. Okay, the first parasha of Ki Tetzei is about the parasha called Yifat Toar. What's Yifat Toar?
Maria.
I hope
she
not.
Amazing.
I really, really hope not. Well, I'm not even going to go there. Okay. What is Yifat Toar? Yifat Toar is a woman who is captured on the battlefield trying to seduce the soldiers. Oh, that's not what you meant. No, no, okay. I was like, what? I was looking at you, you're like, what? She didn't mean that. Okay. No. Says the Torah, Ki Tetzei LaMilchama. We're gonna do it like we always do. We're gonna read the section. It's a very short section. We're gonna analyze some of the there's a bunch of chumashim. There's really a bunch. We're gonna analyze some of the textual problems that the Mefarshim deal with. And then we're gonna see one pshat, one midrash, and then one what I would call remez, but it's Kabbalah, but it's a very well known Kabbalistic interpretation of this section. Not that I know Kabbalah, but you'll see it's very, very powerful, very beautiful. Ki Tetzei LaMilchama al Oyvecha Unitano Hashem Elokecha biyadecha v'shavita shivyo. When you will go out to war against your enemies, okay, and Hashem Elokecha will give him biyadecha in your hands. Vishavita shivyo. Vishavita, what's lishbot?
To capture.
Uh-huh. Shevi is your captive. What's shivyo?
His captive.
Good. Does that make sense?
No.
Good. We just translated it as, Onatkam will forgive him in your hands. Vishavita, and you will capture his captive. How does it translate in English? And you will capture his captive?
You will deliver him into your hands.
Is that what it says?
You will capture
his captivity. Okay, now I just have another simple question for you. What does that mean? You will capture his captivity.
Maybe something he captured in a different war.
Oh, you'll capture his captive? Okay.
But it's not. It says his captivity.
Right. Now we know what it means. We will capture his captivity. Actually, I don't know what that means. Is that the same in that one too? Because sometimes different art scrolls will go in different directions. Anyway, we'll see. So that's a question. What does it mean, Vishavita Shivyo? Capture his captivity. What it literally means or contextually means, it means you will capture captives.
Right. But here
Shivyo
is his, like it's not yours.
Very good. Shavita Shivyo.
Good.
Oh, I forgot to say, we're also going to actually talk about the theological problems that this section raises. V'ra'ita bashivya, eshet yifat toar. And you will see bashivya in her captivity, a woman of yifat toar.
Now we're talking about her captivity.
In her captivity, good. A woman yifat toar, of great beauty, yifat toar, great description.
That's what I said.
V'chashakta ba. Well, the term Yifat Toar does not refer to a beautiful woman. Yifat Toar is a halachic term referring to this section. You'll see, v'chashakta ba, cheshek. You want her.
Desire.
You desire her. V'lakachta lecha li'isha. You take her for a wife. V'haveita el toch beitecha. You bring her to your home. V'gilcha et rosha. V'asta et zipor neha. Right?
You
shave her head.
Yeah.
V'asta et zipor neha. What does it mean? Let her nails grow. It's a machloket, actually. Or you make her cut her nails. What?
A manicure.
What's the... La'asot et ziporneihem. She do her nails. What?
You're going to take her beauty away.
Ah, so if you take her beauty away, then you don't give her a manicure. What do?
You cut her nails.
You cut them. You don't let them grow.
Why doesn't it say that?
It's a good question. Good question. V'astat ziporneihem. It's a machloket in the Gemara. What it means, v'astat ziporneihem. The Gemara says there's two actual opinions. One is Rabbi Lazar, one is Rabbi Akiva. One says, just like you shave her head, you remove her hair, you also remove her nails. The other one says, you let them grow. La'asot means to let them grow. Right? You know, I don't know which one it is. Okay?
Is this a source for shaving women's head?
No. Not at all. There is no source for shaving women's heads.
It's something
women do. What? No, I'm serious. There is no source for shaving women's heads. Ve'sira et simlat shivya me'aleha. You have to take off her captivity dress. What does your captivity dress look like?
There's a lot written about this.
Yeah, what are you, Ramban? Yeah, Ramban is expensive.
It's okay. How she was when you...
Captured her. How was she when you captured her?
She was attracted.
You attracted her. What was she wearing?
Doesn't matter. Whatever it was that attracted you.
Well, why do women go to battlefields?
She was wearing an army.
What?
She didn't fight or to distract.
No. Women were not...
To take care of the men.
You guys are so altruistic.
To make it distract.
Make money, close. You're getting closer.
To be of service. Right.
To be of service, or to be taken as in captivity. That's what she wants. I mean, you have to. Don't think about you know. What?
What do you mean? Everybody's always after the Jewish man.
No, not the Jewish. This is exactly what. What does she have? Her country's been decimated, right? Her husband's probably dead.
She wants a better.
What was left to her? How else could she improve her station in life?
By marrying a nice Jewish
boy. By marrying anyone. Right? A nice Jewish boy. I guess. Uviashva beveitecha, she shall dwell in your house. Ubachta taviya ve'et ima yerech yamim. And she will cry for her mother and her father for a month, days. Ve'achar ken. And afterwards, tavo eleha ube'alta. You may come to her ube'alta and live with her as husband and wife. She'll be a wife for you. V'haya, and it will be, im lo chafatzta ba, if you don't want her. Meaning, what happens?
If you don't find her attractive.
You don't find her attractive. Why don't you find her attractive?
Because you're having a real world.
What?
She doesn't look so good anymore.
She doesn't look so good anymore. Well, like she also, why did she look so good?
She saw the real thing.
Because she was unattainable.
She was attainable, and when did you see her?
When you were desperate.
Emotions were high.
When you were desperate.
When you were desperate, right? V'shilachta l'nafsha, you will send her on her way.
Shame.
Umachor. What do you say?
Shame.
What shame?
Like poor her.
Shame.
Like poor her. You have to listen to the tone of the word shame.
It's
a
South African expression.
Yeah.
Like,
ach, shame. Is it the go together with it?
Yeah.
Ach, shame. Meaning, you should be embarrassed by what you
shame
did. Is it embarrassing?
Yeah.
Right? What's the embarrassing part? Because I want to start on this.
What do you
ach, shame? Use and abuse and...
Despise of
well,
it.
Could he use and abuse? Did he use and abuse?
No.
Ah. Really? You sure?
Why not?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Lo tibat umachor lom timkerena bakasef. You can't sell her. Don't laugh, by the way. This is not to be taken for granted. Why not? Why can't you sell her? Meaning, normally you could sell her. Why could you sell her? If you just took her as a captive and you didn't bring her into your home, you absolutely could sell her.
Because you married her.
Right. Well, you didn't marry. Well, because after you married her, but before you could. Okay? Lo tit amer ba. The word tit amer is very difficult to translate.
You shall not exalt yourself.
Exalt yourself. How is that connected to Lotit Amer?
Because you have afflicted her.
Lotit Amer? What is the root of Tit Amer? Amer, Ayin Mem Resh. What is Omer?
Count.
Count? We're at the Omer. The Omer is the bundle. Right. Very difficult to translate. What do you have in your scrolly scroll? You shall not?
It just says, if a man is found kidnapped.
No, before that. Lotit Amer, by the end of 14. You're looking at the translation. Translation.
You shall not exalt yourself.
Enslave her?
Yeah. You shall not exalt yourself over her.
Ah, interesting. You shall not exalt yourself over her. So now that's why the scroll has different things. That one is based on Rashi. You shall not
enslave
her. This one says?
Exalt.
You shall not exalt yourself over her. The Ramban says, Lotit Amerba is the same as Lotit Amerba with an Aleph. Hashem Marta Hayom exalted you. So just know, by the way, it's fascinating to realize that when you're reading the art scroll, your translation, you're reading the translation based on the parshan that they're using. It's just good. It's a good tool.
Ramban.
Yeah, she's reading the Ramban. She brought the Ramban version.
It's a warning.
I imagine. I really hope that they go on the Ramban's
Translation.
No,
this is the Ramban one.
The Keter is not to use her as a maid servant.
No, in general they don't. In general I found that they will, they're in the PC version is Rashi. They will generally, in the main one, it's all Rashi. In the translation is Rashi. They don't deal with the textual problems. They'll deal with, they'll give Rashi's interpretation. But this one can't, because it's a Ramban Chumash. Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting, just, thing to be aware of.
And no, just,
to raise our awareness in general, translations are not, are not explanations, they're interpretations. They have to be, because like you have this problem. Lo tit amer ba. And by the way, tit amer is in what conjugation? Tit amer? It's in, no. It's in hitpael. What's hitpael?
Reflexive.
It's about yourself. Do not tit amer, exalt yourself. Interesting. What did he say? Again?
Enslave.
Enslave her. That ignores, Rashi ignores.
The
reflexive. Right, but Ramban ignores the fact that it's not tit amerba with an aleph, it's tit amerba with an ayin. So each one has a problem. One second. Each one, I'll get to it. Each one has a problem and says, how do I interpret it? You understand what I'm saying? And each one solves it by ignoring the other person's problem. Okay, yeah, Mira. Lo tit amerba. If you say tit amer with an aleph, right, that's exalt yourself. Very nice, except there's a problem. What is the pasuk? How do you spell the word? With an ayin. So does the Torah usually switch ayin and aleph? It, right, but I'm saying, you know, not really, okay? You have to pick. You often have this problem in Parshanut. You have to pick. What does it mean? Anyway, you were saying, yeah?
So, I was going to say, Ishto Gufo. You took her as a wife, uh-huh. Now she's your equal.
Well,
you can't use her as a maid servant.
Right. It's really important to be careful about imposing 21st century values on the Torah.
No, Ishtokagufo. Yeah. Like yourself. You have to treat her like yourself. Don't make yourself better than her.
Okay, well, Tachar Asher Inita, because you, it's Inita, La'anot, Inui, because you have, and Inui is affliction. Right? Inui Hanefesh, affliction. You have afflicted her. We have that term, La'anot, a number of times. The Initem et Nashotechem, about, is when you have to fast on Yom Kippur. Okay, that's annoying. So, lo tit amerba, do not afflict her somehow. How are you afflicting her?
Treating her like a slave.
You're treating her like a slave.
Well, shaving her head.
No, you did that. That you're supposed to do. Tachar Asher Inita. All right, so we have a couple of textual problems, and we have one overarching hashkafic issue that comes up from this whole thing. Okay? If I could ask someone to volunteer and summarize, just in a couple of sentences, what the Torah just said. Right? Could, one second. Right? You're in war. You're in the battle. You're in battle.
Take the woman, shave her, make her unattractive. Marry her. If you don't like her, don't sell her.
Right. Divorce her. Okay. But you're bad. You missed the nikuda hachashuva biyoter. You took it for granted. Which means, what did you take for granted?
She wants to marry you.
No. We don't care about her. What? Monogamy, polygamy is that you can marry many women in the Torah. That's okay. That doesn't matter.
She's not Jewish.
She's not. Yes. Go on.
She has bad.
You're at war. I'll say maybe. Right. You're at war. Right. You're fighting your enemies. You see a nice chick on the side of the road. So what would you expect the Torah to tell you?
Stay away.
Right. You know. You see a nice chick on the side of the road. Be a nice Jewish boy and keep on moving. What does the Torah say? You see her, and you want her, tell you what, here's how you do it. You know, there's this whole long process. There's a huge machloket, a tremendously large machloket, in the Gemara about a very interesting question, which is, can he, I wouldn't say consummate, but can he be with her physically, can the soldier be with her physically on the battlefield once?
No.
You're saying no, but it's a machloket. It's a big machloket. Okay, because if you...
He has to take her to your
what guy in his right mind would see a girl? He's married. It doesn't matter if he's married. Married or not married, he can have 10 wives if he wants. You know, remember, biblical. Okay? See a guy on the side of the road. You see a woman on the side of the road. There's a big machloket. According to, I don't remember who, but one day on the Gemara, one opinion of the Gemara, of course, one time he can. But then he has to, he cannot just use her and abuse her. Then he has to bring her into his house if he wants to keep her. Another opinion says,
it's actually a shettle.
Or a waste.
Shettle? Chattel. Is that another South African word that I don't know?
No, it's a legal term. It's like she's a thing to possess. Thing to possess.
This is going to sound really harsh, so please
like
don't judge me in this
or
way.
Chair.
But
it does like he does take her.
Yeah, right. I hate to. I'm sorry. Like when you got married, what did your husband do? How did he marry you?
The ring.
He didn't shave my head and treat me like a piece
of
furniture.
Well, I don't like the term "buy." The technical term is
acquired.
He acquired you, right? You know what I'm saying? Right, right. What do we say about 21st century values? And,
yeah, but
you know, I'm gonna make it better. Don't worry, I'm gonna make it better.
But a husband doesn't treat a wife like that. He doesn't. Well, if I don't like her, I'll just get rid of her.
No, but her money is his.
Right. Her possessions are his?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
They didn't have social.
The other way around.
His possessions.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Her possessions are his. Right. Exactly right. Exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah. What's the problem with this?
What's the problem with this?
Yeah.
Do you think that.
He can marry many women.
Is this a recipe for a good Jewish marriage?
No. It's not. But on the other hand, he sees her and desires her, so he has a recipe for.
This is where we come to the. This is the key. One second. Don't you have stuff you see and desire all the time? And what does Hashem say to you?
What's the reason why he can't?
She's not Jewish. She's in the middle of a war. She's seducing him. It's like bad news. Bad news. She had converted. Excuse me.
So maybe she converts during this process.
She does convert in the process.
So what initiate?
Why is she converting? Does she want to convert?
No.
She wants to be safe.
Correct. So is that?
And he takes her.
It's obviously not ideal.
I'm sorry. Between you and me, if I were writing, I mean, if we were writing these rules. You say, you know, like the IDF is writing, you know, like rules of engagement on the battlefield, like or just advice, good advice for soldiers. Okay. Like what to do with women on the side of the road. You know what I'm saying? Even the like to forget the IDF. American soldiers. You know what I'm saying? This happens all the time. You should just know. All the time. Why? And this is exactly the point. Because I don't know if it's Iraq, but you know what they say in Vietnam, Vietnamese women, that the soldier was a ticket to a better life. And he was a ticket to a better life. And what did they tell the soldiers? Bad news. Bad news. Bad news for you, bad news for your family, and certainly bad news in the Jewish congregation for a Klal Yisrael. So you have to ask yourself a very fundamental question. What in the world is the Torah doing?
When views things differently to afterwards. And the Torah is recognizing that in the heat of battle, men have certain needs to
They need an outlet.
They have a drama.
Which are not going to exist afterwards. Mm-hmm. And the Torah is giving them a halakhic framework to deal with that. In a way that after the battle is finished, they're not settled.
Very good. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi on Yud Aleph. Take a look at Rashi on Yud Aleph. Very nice. Very nice. Absolutely correct. Yud Aleph. See Rashi, v'lakachta lecha le'isha. Says Rashi, lo dibra Torah ela kineged yetzahara. Rashi says, no, this is not ideal. This is not what you should do. But rather, the Torah only spoke kineged yetzahara, corresponding to the yetzahara. Why? She'im en HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitira. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't permit it, Yise'enu bi'isur, then he will marry her in a prohibited marriage. Aval im nisa'a, but if he marries her, Sofo lihiyot son'a. In the end, he's going to hate her. Shne'emar acharav ki tiyena le'ish. V'sofo leholid mimena ben sarer umoreh. Rashi says, you have to look at the connection between this section and the following sections. The next section after Yifat Toar is two wives. Let's just read for a second so you'll see that Rashi says there's a whole. Look at Pasuk Tebbav. Kitiyena le'ish shtei nashim. Person has two wives. Ha'achat ahuva ve'achat snua. One wife he loves and one he hates. It's very sad. No, you have one wife you like, one you don't. Each one had a son. The wife you can't stand had the first one. He was the bechor. When you give your inheritance to the children you have, You can't say, well, since I like wife B, I'm going to give her child the bechora, I'm not the birthright, and I'm not going to give the one I can't stand, the son of the one I can't stand. Why? Rather, kita bechor ben asenua yakir letel lebishnayim. So Rashi says, he looks at it homiletically. He says, why do you have a wife you love and a wife you hate? He says, the reason is because you took that wife on the battlefield. The wife you love is the one whose values you connected with, or whatever, the one, the great shidduch from the Rosh Hashiva, or the, you know what I'm saying? The wife you love is the one that you took when you should have, the way you should have. The wife you hate, and you can't stand, is the one you took when you shouldn't have. And then you woke up 6 months later and you said, dear Lord, what have I done? And can't get rid of her because she's pregnant with my son. How's that for a lifetime of misery? What? Oh, it gets better, your soap opera. Because, next pasuk. Yurchet, ki yele ish ben sorer umoreh. When a person should have a ben sorer umoreh, a child who is sorer, deviant, umoreh, and rebellious. Deviant and rebellious son. Okay, this child doesn't listen to instructions. He drinks wine, he eats meat, he sits on the side of the road, he robs people, he steals from his parents. And the rule is, the Torah says, that the halacha is that if his parents submit him to Beit Din, they say, we can't control him, we don't know what to do, and he fills the proper conditions, they stone the child, put him to death. He's nidon al shem sofo. We know what's going to be with this kid in the end. And the Torah says, better for him to die innocent than to die guilty. We're not going to let him do the thing we know he's going to do. It's a very interesting Torah perspective, which is not the topic for our discussion. But, well, maybe we'll do it next year. It's a very, I think, it goes to... It, horrifies you? Okay, I'll talk to you for a second.
I think how many, you know, when you look at some of the psychopaths and some of the stuff that they've done, and we go back to their relationship with the parents.
I'm not even going to go there. I just wanted to convey the idea that the Torah's value, the Torah's value is a life wasted or a life misused is less valuable than not having lived at all. Meaning, it's better to put this child, to kill this person, you're doing him a favor in the long term, as opposed to allowing him to live and doing what he knows he's going to, and letting him do what he knows he's going to do, which is totally in direct contradiction to the values today, where, you know, life is the most important thing. How could you do this? You know what I'm saying? And we've seen many, many times the Torah will say, you put someone to death for committing a spiritual crime, and the spiritual life is more important than the physical life. Yeah, you want to say something?
Isn't there some myth or someone that says that there was?
No, the Gemara says it never happened.
But it never
happened. Never happened.
Right. So correct. I feel like, if it never really happened, so it wasn't really here for practical purposes. I feel like it was...
What's the lesson?
That's the thing. I feel like it backs up the original point saying, you know, then you're going to have a, you know, you're going to have an inheritance problem, you're going to have a son from this woman, that's going to be a problem. Like, I think it's... You know,
use your head. See the future. Correct.
Like, if it
correct.
Never actually happens, then why?
Well, I would say the Ben Sora Mora's point. Yeah, it is a warning, but there's a lot of deep lessons in Ben Sora Mora. That's not the one we're going to do. But Rashi says, you think that these three laws in succession are coincidence? You think that taking the wrong woman, getting a woman on a battlefield, right, leads to this broken relationship, and a broken relationship with a wife clearly leads to, right, children who are going to rebel against the way of life you want. Yeah, Lira.
It all suggests, though, that in the original point, Hashem should have said, you see her, go past her.
Right.
As in, if it's going to be so bad, and there's so many negative outcomes, then why say you can do it?
Right, she left, she had to buy a diaper thing. Right, okay, so what's the answer? Greg.
Not necessarily. If you're going to die tomorrow.
No, but the Torah doesn't say, oh, you know, people are frail beings, and therefore we'll allow it within a framework.
What
the Torah says no.
What you're really wondering is, Dibra Torah keneged Yetzer Hara?
Exactly.
What?
Why in this case does it say you're weak, so okay?
Let me ask you a better question, to which I've been thinking about for a while, and I don't have an answer. I'm sorry to do this to you. You can discuss it at the Shabbos table. What? Is this the only example? I mean, why here? What about in general? I don't know. There's a juicy bit of gossip. You know what I'm saying? And I just can't control myself. So the Torah will say, well, if you can't control yourself, go ahead and do it, but do it in the like least harmful way. You know, send a letter, or, you know what I'm saying? Don't send an email. Right!
So just once do it.
Just do it once. Or
get it out of your system.
Right, get it out of your system. I mean, there is that notion, by the way. The Gemara does talk about that in sometimes in other terms. And if a person can't control himself in sin, yigaleh atzmo, he should exile himself in sin, like in a faraway place, to become a different person. And that you don't do it, that this other person does it. It's a very interesting question. Does the Torah, does this mean that, well, if the Torah is dibrak and egidei tzahara, can we extrapolate this to other areas? It's a very dangerous, troubling mode of thought. Because then how do you decide? Well, you know, I'm just letting my yetzahara get, like, I'm sowing my oats. You know, there's a, where was I seeing this? Oh, I saw this about, like, there's this thing that the Amish do. You ever heard about this? Not for Bregen.
Something similar, where they're 17, 18, they
right. Correct. They get a year off.
The real world.
And they get to do whatever they want. It's like flangerflangen or whatever they call it. You know what I'm saying? And after your year off, you decide, do you want to join the Amish again? You want to be part of the community? Or do you not want to? If you don't want to, we'll accept you. But if you rejoin...
What's the leaving rate?
What?
What's the leaving rate?
I don't know.
It's actually higher.
Yeah.
They
say half.
I think they said it's pretty bad.
They're all leaving?
Yeah.
Oh, you never. So some people every now and then say, "Oh, I see. Jewish people should do that too. The children need to sow their oats." Like, are you nuts? We don't do that. You know what I'm saying? We don't. It's like if you believe in your way of life, why does it not apply when you're 18? You know what I'm saying? Why is the fact that you? So we should tell every child, try the drugs. You know, get it out of your system. No, I don't think so. Right. Right, now make an evaluation. Do you want to for the rest of your life? It doesn't work that way. It's a very dangerous thing. And so the only answer I could come up with is, in this case, you have to speak to the Yetzer Hara. Why? Because the Torah, in a case of war, the Torah is telling you all the normal rules that you function by, turn them off. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to go kill a fellow human being. And what we're telling you now is that the things that you normally tell yourself are completely against your ethical and moral being now are not just mutter, they're a mitzvah. There's no other situation like that where everything is topsy-turvy. And we do find in situations of war, a soldier of war is allowed to eat non-kosher. He doesn't daven, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has to do what he has to do. So the rules are changed during that time. And so therefore the Torah has to, I guess, speak Yitzhele Milchama when you go out to war. Yeah?
But it's as if Hashem is saying that you don't have any control over the Yitzhar. The Yitzhar is totally taking over. And
yeah.
You have no choice in the matter.
He's saying, Dibra Kineg Yitzhar, you can if you want. But now the Torah is giving you a framework to deal with that Yitzhar. And what's so interesting is, if you think about it in the broader sense, there's when a person goes to war, And his mentality does change, and he's killing people. You know what I'm saying? And there's now that they talk about the soldiers they deal with, you know, there's what's called collateral damage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, and it happens. It has to happen. You bomb a house, not everyone's going to be, you know, an insurgent. Not everyone's going to be a terrorist. There are going to be innocent people. And then you go back to your community, you go back to your home, and you say, I know, I killed innocent people. It's not easy for that person to turn around and say that the morality that was then, I'm okay with that, and now I'm living my life the way I am now.
They actually say it doesn't even matter who they killed, even if they killed the
They still have that sense of...
They still have that sense of having taken somebody's life. It's something that they can never get away from.
The idea of the Yifat Torah is fascinating because it brings into very stark terms, what does a person bring back from war? Like the spoils of war. And how does it affect your daily life? When you bring this, you're like, oh, you know, it's very much tangible. You were with this woman, you come home, I'm home, but dad's home. And all of a sudden, like, behind you, traipses in this, you know, and like, and your wife, however many wives you have, they look and you go, what is that? You know what I'm saying? How are we going
to
do this now? Yeah. Very much so. And what are the ramifications of it? Okay. That's the shot. Okay? You can... We talked about the Shavita. So now we're going to do something not only a little different, unbelievably different. I'm going to read from you. I didn't photocopy it. There's a long essay of the Ramban on this matter, which we're not really going to do. We might touch on it. But a very long essay of the Or HaChaim. Okay? The Or HaChaim, his name was... Hold on. Rabbi Chaim Bar Moshe Ben Attar, he lived in Italy. And if he gets into the much more into the remez, into the sod. Okay? And so he's going to start with, he starts with a bunch of questions. And then, if you have it, it's really, really worth seeing as much as you can. He asks some of the questions that we ask. What does it mean, b'shavit af shivyo? Okay? V'ra'ita b'shivya eshet yifat to'ar? Okay? And I'm on page Shin Pei Gimel. Shin Pei Gimel. You see it? Shin Pei, right there. Before. Shin Pei Gimel. Anybody else have Orach Chaim? Nobody? Sorry. So he says the following. In order to try to resolve the Katuv, he's going to give us two very different tracks to think about. One is going to blow your mind. The other one's going to get you ready for Rosh Hashanah. Sarich la'ir b'inyan. We have to raise this issue. Lama yitzav Hashem kadvarim ha'ele? Why would God command a person l'tamei adam atzmo b'bat el nechar? That he would defile himself b'bat el nechar with a non-Jewish woman. She's an avodah zarah. Meaning the whole process. One of the things that the Mefarshim say. What's the process of ubachta et aviyah ve'et ima yarach yamim? The Midrash says. What does it mean ubachta et aviha? Midrash says aviha mamash. Rabbi Kiva Amer, Aviya Bima, Zo Avodah Zara. She's going to mourning. You say to her, my dear, you're never going home. Right? Your old way of life, gone. Right? So forget the Christmas trees, forget communion, forget church, done. She has to mourn that. You can't just expect a person to turn around like that. Even if she wants a new life, even if she knows this is her best option. That's all she knows. She has to mourn that. She is immersed in a foreign culture, an idolatrous culture. You think it's so easy to get rid of that? You think after her month of mourning, like, what's she bringing into your house? Really? Can you imagine? It's like, how's Miluim? Great. I want you to meet somebody. It's just like, what? It seems so weird. Okay. Plus, Orach Chaim says, when a Jewish soldier goes out to war, if you remember, what does the Torah say that a Jewish soldier has to do? What kind of soldiers go out to war?
Torah knowledge.
Torah knowledge? No, knowledgeable. Remember, what does the Kohen do? Before so they go out to war, they line them all up. Before he blesses them, he says, he asks them a few questions. Yeah. Anybody get married this year?
Uh-huh.
Go on, go home.
Build
a house? Go on. Vineyard?
Go
on, the last question. What's the last question? Are you afraid? Anyone afraid? Well, that's a little peer pressure in that question, but if you're afraid, go home. We don't want you. Jewish war, and if you know, this issue comes up actually in today. There's a lot of political issues about this. In Oferet Yitzchak, in the caste-led war, right? The chief rabbi of Israel, his name was Rav Vronsky. They fired him because of this. Because he taught his rabbanim. He said, your job is not just to make sure the kitchen is kosher. You are spiritual advisors for the soldiers. You have to instill in them the kedusha of the Jewish soldier. The notion that you're going the Shem Hashem. That you're fighting. And this, while this was great for the soldiers and very powerful, as it almost always is, it created a backlash in some more secular soldiers saying they're trying to make us into jihadists. We're fighting a holy war. That, by the way, is the term that terror uses. Right? This is what's called milchemet mitzvah. Terrorists are shooting your cities. That's milchemet mitzvah. Defending Eretz Yisrael is a milchemet mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go to war. That's a very fine line. You know, in a secular army, to tell soldiers, this is your religious duty to kill the enemy. It's a very touchy thing. But that's what Judaism teaches us. Says Or HaChaim, a Jewish soldier isn't supposed to be at a low level. He's on a higher level. He's going out to fulfill Ritzon Hashem, to defend Eretz Yisrael, to defend Am Yisrael. Now you're telling him, Yifat Torah? You're telling me that now he's supposed to debase himself, give in to his Yetzer Hara, there's a woman on the side of the road? That's like total opposite of what he's supposed to be. How is this possible? Aval, he says, one second. Bishlama, he says, I can understand. Hatarat achilat isur. Alright, he wants, he's got to eat food. Matzinu le Rambam. You see where I am? Right here. Matzinu le Rambam, right there. Shenatan tam im yirav. If he's hungry, he's starving. You know, soldiers find themselves. I'm reading that. I read this book on Tisha B'Av called Ti'um Kavanot of Rav Sabato. Rav Sabato is Rosh Yeshiva of Ma'ale Adumim. He wrote a book called Ti'um Kavanot. It's translated into English. Must read. You know, war is you find, he found himself the day after the war. They had to get out of their tank. The tank was shot. They found themselves in some Syrian, God only knows what, bunker surrounded by soldiers. You could find yourself. You have to eat. Fine. Eat what you need to eat. Shenatan tam. 1 second. Aval ma'aseh zeh. But this act of being with a woman, yeta'avenu osenu, the ta'if, the person who does it is repulsive. V'rabbeinu amru, the rabbi said, lo dibra Torah ala keneged yetzer hara'a. Right? This is your question, the era. The Torah says, lo dibra Torah keneged yetzer hara'a. The Torah spoke for yetzer hara'a. Umin hara'uihu lahachni'o. What do you mean, yetzer hara'a? Subsume it, subside it, overcome it. Ula abdom mileva, am kadosh. Bizman hahu asher malkam berosham nilachem lehem. Don't give in to Yetzer Hara. Fight it. You're a holy soldier. This is what you're going to do? Come on. Aval yesod hadavar visodo. This is what I got to tell you. The yesod hadavar visodo. Anytime somebody who deals in Kabbalah says sod, you know, put on your seatbelt. Shamru, they said, Shebeched Adam Harishon, Nishbu Kama Nishamot Yekarot Biyad Sitra Achra. When Adam Harishon sinned, many Nishamot were grabbed by the Sitra Achra. Who's the Sitra Achra? Never heard that term? Not the Yetzer Hara. Sitra Achra. What's that? Not the Malach HaMavet, exactly. Kind of like the devil. Okay, the sitra, the other. He's grabbed these neshamot, v'heim neshamot ha-geirim. And these are the souls of the geirim. Itzeu l'mat kama v'kama gedolei olam ba'im ha'amot. How many great, great Jewish leaders came from the nations? Ruta Moaviyah tochiach, v'kama gedolei olam, Ruta Moaviyah, of course, and Ashamaya, and Avtalon, v'unklo sager, l'eil ha-rabot. So there were certain neshamot, tohorot, great neshamot that got caught in the non-Jewish nations by the Sitra Achra, grabbed them and stuck them where they don't belong. Od agalel chasod echad. I gotta tell you something else. Timsa neshamat tahora dvuka b'neshamat tameya. Sometimes this neshamat tahora can be stuck to a neshamat tameya. You didn't know that, right? I didn't know that either. If ain koach b'tahora. And it can't get out. The neshamat tehora is stuck in the neshamat tmeya. It's connected. And it's clinging there. It's stuck there until someone comes and frees her. And there's a midrash about this from the neshama of Rabbi Chananya ben Tiradon, shaita dvuka b'shchem ben chamor. The neshama of what's his name? Chananya ben Tiradon was stuck to Shechem's neshama. Chanina ben Tiradon, thank you. Keramuz b'tevat rechavat yadayim. And the ratio you have the term rechavat yadayim. Rashi Teva of rechavat, resh chet betaf, Rabbi Chananya ben Tiradon. Just take it, okay? Umatzinu, and we see. Shahanefesh alazo lo astam mif'al tov b'shchem. This nefesh didn't come out in when it's clinging to Shem. V'yatzta, how did this nefesh get out? Kishedavak b'dina matzah hanefesh mina v'nib dekabo. How did this nefesh get to Shem ben Chamor? How did Chanan ben Tiradon's nefesh? Because when Dina clung to Shem, it says v'tidavak nafsho b'dina. Part of him became clung to her. Part of her became clung to him. Part of Dina's nefesh got stuck with Shechem ben Chamor. It only got out much later on in history, in Rabbi Chananya ben Tiradon. He says, "Ushmor lecha klal zeh." Just know, you don't have to understand it, but it's what happens. Meaning. We talk about. Don't worry about it. We talk about the danger of intermarriage. We talk about it on a practical level. So we understand when people cling together, when they connect to each other, they don't just connect on a physical level, they connect on a spiritual level. Somehow their souls become intertwined to the point where it's very possible that they can't untangle themselves afterwards. And that we're playing with things we don't understand and can't control. And then in a healthy marriage, in a healthy situation, that's wonderful. It says, you know, you're taking two halves that are meant to be together and you're making them into a whole. But in other situations, you're causing damage. Okay? Here we are. He says, V'hine k'rakatavti, I'm skipping a paragraph. I said many times, ki be'emsa'ut ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, through and mitzvah actions, yidlabesh ba'adam or ha-shechina, v'yigaresh menu chelek hara. When a person does a mitzvah, he becomes enhanced with the light of the Shechina, and evil does not cling to him. Okay? And then he says the following. I'm skipping a little bit. Okay? 1 second. Okay? Rabotenu amru, eshet ish, divrehem amru, ba'al la'ir, comes to teach us. Shebe'emtza'ut hayo osek b'mitzvah, because he's in this mitzvah, he's engaged in this mitzvah of war, of fighting God's fight. Yigaleh Hashem et einav, God will open his eyes, l'hakir be'eshet goy, sheyesh ba'yifat Torah. Not her physical beauty, but because he's on the spiritual high level, he can look at this woman and see inside of her what? Her soul. And he sees inside of her this holy soul that wants to come out. Shehi neshama hakadosha hanikret yifat Torah. Okay? Hakarata ayidei sheisha ro'ah sheata choshek ba. Bizman shei davuk b'shechina ve'emtzaut ha'edcha asuk b'shlichut mitzvah. So, and the fact that she wants you at this time, when you are on this high spiritual level, you're able to look into her and see that there's a holy part of your soul. Right? So, you are? I don't know. No? Doesn't do it for you. So he says the following. I had to share this with you. This is like heavy stuff, you know? So he says, there's a problem though. The act of connecting to this woman can do one of two things. It can release the negative part of her soul, or it can free the positive part of her soul. Meaning, you don't know what you're left with. Are you left with a giyoret, with a neshama tahora only? Or are you left with the nachrit, and her good soul has been freed to wherever it's supposed to go? So he says, that's why you need the month. You need the month because the month will reveal, is she really a giyorit mamach kiruta moavia, or is she still the same person that she was and you're supposed to send her away? Says the Rachai, he says, you know, this is not what you thought it was. It's not giving to the Eitz Hara. It's even an even higher level of Kedusha than you ever thought it was supposed to be. And through that level of Kedusha, of fighting Melchem and Mitzvah, you're able to free a soul that was stuck, clung to a place where it's not supposed to be.
So he's saying that these souls are clung to living.
I had to share it. You don't have to like it or accept it, but I mean, you know, what then?
Souls are clung to living people.
Didn't you read Harry Potter? Whatever. Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah, I mean, that's what he says. He says souls can be stuck in places where they don't belong. Cheder Bara Marisha. And your job is to free them, to unleash, to unravel them from where they're stuck. This, you know what I'm saying? He says, what is a ger? What do we say about the neshamot of gerim?
They were there at Sinai.
So if they were there at Sinai, why aren't they here?
Intermarriage.
Hard to say. It's really hard to say. But the idea of a ger, you could say on the one hand, no, it's the same soul, the same person, but now they're becoming a person of Kedusha. Or you could say that this neshama was always meant to join Klal Yisrael. And it had to wait until the opportunity presented itself in its proper time in order for the neshama to become part of Klal Yisrael, part of the Kedushat Am Yisrael. Don't buy it? Don't. But he uses terms like, Shmor lecha klal zeh. Wait, what does that mean? Shmor lecha klal zeh. He says, I can't prove it to you, but I'm telling you the truth.
Be with me.
Yeah.
It says though that Gairim have this negative soul and this positive soul together, and they're overall not positive people because they've got these two souls and they need somebody else to try and
some.
Release the negative, but it could not work and they'll just be bad people. But that's not what we learn about Gary.
What do you learn about Gary?
About how you've got to... there's nothing negative about this.
Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. They don't tell you about that, but the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara, there are comments in the Gemara exactly about that. That on the one hand, a Ger Tzedek is the best thing you could have. But on the other hand, I don't know, does anybody know a Ger who was Mit Gayer and then
and then
went back and reverted?
Yeah. Laura Schlesinger.
Dr. Laura, that's right.
What do you mean?
Of course.
She's not from anymore.
Right, she's not. Correct.
It's a
very, very damaging thing. So the Gemara, and the Gemara says it.
I don't know, but I'm talking about Gary who Shomer Torah.
Okay. Then, no, those are good. Those are terrific.
What happened to the bad part of their soldiers?
Ask the Or HaChaim. Excellent question. Let's go on. Shin Pei Dalet, the Or HaChaim number two. And this is what's relevant to us. For Rosh Hashanah.
Is a gear allowed to marry a gear?
Sure.
I was just told it once to me that they weren't, and I was just wondering.
Ger can't marry a Kohen. A Kohen can't marry a Ger.
Why?
Yeah. Right. Of course. No problem. Absolutely. Okay. Skip to Shin Pei Dalet. Uberderech Remes Hikbar Parsha Al Dach Zeh. He says there's another. We did Sod. Now we do Remes. Remes. I mean, I can't tell you the difference between the two. This is worth seeing. Okay. Hine. Okay. Kol Binyan Ha'olam V'Kiyumo Talui B'Maseh Am Bnei Yisrael. Shin Pei Dalet. Turn to the next page. Turn to the next page. Right here. Derech Remes. One second. Here we go. This is the Or HaChaim. Yeah, same thing. Smaller. Okay. Everything that happens in the world is talui b'maaseh am b'nei Yisrael. It's dependent on the Jewish people. Im yativu darkeihem. Should the Jews improve? Ha'olam kayam. Right? Then the world will continue to exist. Very interesting perspective. Okay. Skip to the next paragraph. Uba ha'katuf la'ha'ir la'adam. The Torah comes to awaken us. Ki b'yitziyato me'olyan olan ha'elyon la'vo la'ozam hazeh yeh muchan la'milchama. When you leave the olam ha'elyon, shamayim, when you're born, you better prepare yourself for war. Ki lo yachshav she'ein tzarech tigboret l'nitzachon zeh. Don't think you don't need strength, gvura, to win. Ela adaraba. Rather, the opposite is true. La'zo yikare milchama. Prepare yourself for battle, war. Al derech shomram, we say, Ezehu gibor, Kobeshet Yitzro. Right? The greatest warrior is he who overcomes himself, which means your fight with your Yetzer is, it's a war, it's a battle. And he says the following, okay, Ve'omro al oivecha, and it says against your enemy, Ba'al leha'ir, comes to teach you, it's not like a regular war. Right? When the battle is over, what do you do? Regular war, you attack a city, you win, you go home. The war is over. You don't have to fight all the time. You're fighting this fight, and if you ever weaken, if you ever let up, this guy will hit you. He'll strike you. Kamo king. If you weaken yourself from fighting the enemy, Yakum alav yovdehu min ha'olam. Let's read the pasuk again. Now, this is not about a guy, some Israeli soldier going out to fight, but rather, ki teitze la milchama al oivecha. When you, as a human being, go out to battle against your enemy, against who is that? Yetzahara. Unutano Hashem Elohecha biyadecha v'shavita shivyo. V'shavita shivyo now means what? Shivyo. Masheshava. I'm reading Or HaChaim. Imchina tato mimcha umikiyotze becha. It's not that. Unutano Hashem Elohecha biyadecha v'shavita shivyo. He takes you captive. He got you to do something you're not supposed to do. He got the upper hand. Then, v'ra'ita b'shivya eshet yifat tovar. Eshet yifat tovar is the neshama. Okay, you see b'shivya eshet yifat tovar, you see something you're supposed to have. Mechashakta ba. Okay, I'm reading mechashakta ba. Az acheshik shayalub divrei ha'yetzer, yabishem ma'letaken amushot muskalot. and you have this desire for whatever your Yetzer wants. V'haveita el toch beitecha. And you bring it into your house. V'gilcha et rosha. Then how do you handle it? How are you supposed to control your Yetzer? V'gilcha et rosha v'asta tziporneha. No, no. Then you have to fight it by doing what? How do you take something? How do you fight your Yetzer? I want it. It's good.
Making it unattractive.
How do you make it undesirable? Good. How do you make it unattractive and undesirable? That's exactly the point. What does it do? What?
It takes me from emotional to
me. Very good. Because as we did last week, what does it do? You take this woman on the battlefield, just back in the shot, on the battlefield. You want her because she's done things to make herself attractive. Women do that, I hear. Okay? And your desire is, it's a lust. It's an attraction. So when you bring her home, and she's in her, you know, sweatpants, right? And her hair is shaved. She's not made up. She's crying. She looks terrible. And what do you say to yourself? Ugh. That's not what I wanted. So there's this thing that you want, right? I really want to watch this series. Oh, my friends are watching this series I saw on Facebook, and they're saying how great it is. Really? You have the time? Is it worth it? So, it's in your house. You have it. You got the video. Okay? Start reading. So then how do you strip away the hair? How do you strip away the nails? How do you strip it away? Start reading reviews. You know what I'm saying? Start reading isn't there like some website about parent reviews? Read that. Before you watch a movie, if we ever did this, before I watch a movie, I read, there are 32 acts of violence in this movie. There's like a website like that. 32 acts of violence in a movie, 6 curse words, 7, you know what I'm saying? I think there's like parents.
Common Sense Media.
I don't know who had the right to read it. If we all had that rule and said, before I watch anything, I will read the review of that 3 times, how many less movies would we watch?
Zero.
You wouldn't watch any of them. Really? I'm going to watch that? Why? Because we're pulling the cheshek away. So then this whole parasha, this section becomes a really powerful, very deep allegory to our fight with our Yetzer Hara. And then in the end, the Torah says, you take off its simat shivya, okay? And if you don't want her, b'shilachta l'nafsha, send her away. She doesn't belong in your house. That's a very beautiful, very powerful message for us. It's not about a woman at war, it's about each of us. We fight. The fight is ongoing. Don't ever think that this milchama ever ends. You know, because as soon as you let your guard down for a moment, he's at your doorstep. It's in your house. As opposed to out there, when you keep teitzei l'milchama, where it's supposed to be. Somebody want to say something? Somebody have anything to say? Alright, I just want to point out, this is a very, very common theme of this parasha. You also find it in Kli Yakar. Okay? About exactly this idea, Kli Yakar is a little bit easier to read. You don't have to read the whole Or HaChaim, but he does talk about this. 1 second. He says exactly the same. V'adayim medaber bo'oyev echad prati. Oyvecha, your singular enemy. Sheya b'chal oyvecha. Umihu ve'ezohu. Ein zeh, you do have it, right? Second, I'm in Iran, the paragraph right down there. Ein zeh ki im tsar vo'oyev pnimi. This is your internal enemy. Who's Satan? Who hayetzer hara? Hamekatreg biyoter b'shat ha'sakana b'milchama. He fights you in the most dangerous time in the war, in that time. Okay? And so he says, why do you... Kiyaka says in a different direction, why do you make her mourn? When a person mourns, what does he do?
Cries.
Says Shiva. What does he think about?
The loss.
Real.
When a person confronts mourning, he thinks about his own mortality. Death. When you think about mortality, it's a very sobering perspective. Did I tell you this last week? About this article I read? There's this TV show, apparently, that I didn't see. I read an article in the New York Times about that raises the following question. What if nobody ever died? Right? Nobody ever died. How would people live their lives if they never died? Did they mention it? So I'll mention it again because most people weren't here. You weren't here. And it says, they mention something fascinating. They did a psychological study of judges, civil judges, I mentioned this, civil judges, and they took two groups of them. One group, they would ask them a series of questions, you know, before they would go and do, like, you know, give fines for breaking the law, like, you know, parking tickets or whatever. One series of judges, they would ask the questions that had to do with issues that related to a sense of mortality. The other ones, they asked innocuous questions. What? Their mortality. Knowing that you're going to die, you know, have you thought, you know what I'm saying? But not about their job. And then they watched them as they went and they judged. They said it was fascinating. The judges that focused on their mortality, or that were asked questions that made them think about their mortality, gave fines that were significantly more severe, punishments more severe than the ones that did not. And they said, like, the one who didn't ask this question, he was like, yeah, they would give a $40 fine, $50 fine. The other judge was like $400 or $500 fine. Why? Because when you think about your own death, when you're thinking about life and death, things are more serious. It's more real. What are you here for? What are you doing? So he says, when he sees this woman, ki al zeh yizkor yom hamita, va'az vaday azil yetzer hara. Then the yetzer hara goes, because when you're thinking about life and death, the yetzer hara doesn't have anything to talk to you about. How much of, you know, and it really is true. Like, the yetzer hara's job is not to get to think about that you're going to die tomorrow. How many ma'amarim in Pirkei Avot are there that remind us about the fact that don't forget your mortality. Remember where you came from. Me'ayin vata.
Would you say it's almost the opposite?
No. He wants you to forget. That's right. He wants you to forget that you're going to die. Like, that's exactly the point. And the Pirkei Avot and the Torah, his job is to remind you, there's more than this. What are you here for? Think about Yom Kippur, Yom Narayim. How much of Yom Narayim about, you know, is the most powerful parts, in a sense, are, what am I here for? How much longer do I have? What did I do in the past year? Every year goes by. You know, where am I going in the coming year? How many more years, you know? Like, it's really like, you know, as we get older, you hear about people's parents and their, you know what I'm saying, and you hear about people our age every day, you know, and you say to yourself, what did I do this year? What am I going to do this coming year? It's not, I'm not as immortal as I was 20 years ago, when I really didn't care about this stuff. And that's a very, very heavy and powerful message, that he sees her in this way, and then he'll decide to make the right choice. So the Yifat Tohar, on the one hand, we struggle with it on its pshat level, but on the ways that we internalize it, Divrach Torah Kenegi Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, Torah, in that situation, if you find yourself in the Yetzer Hara situation, right, the Torah does tell you you have to react, you have to respond. But on a deeper level, we spoke about the souls, take it or leave it. But then we also spoke about the idea of the milchama, the true war is Alo Ivecha against the Yetzer Hara. And then sometimes he takes you v'shavita shivyo. Sometimes we succumb. And the message of the Ifatar is to use the message, to use the rules of the Yifat Torah, to use the instructions of dealing with the Yifat Torah, to come back to our senses, to remind ourselves of our mortality, and to try to make the right choices, to be overcoming our Yetzer, to be Kovesh Yetzer, to be the Giborim and the Milchama as best we can.